Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Damage Report. Fridays tend to be, especially here on the Damage Report, a hot mess, utter chaos, a swirling vortex of insanity. And why? It's Brett Ehrlich. Brett, how's it going and what are you about to do to me?
I don't know, John. Honestly, today is started off on the, I got up really early and was all set. And then a bunch of stuff happened where I was just like had to sort things out. And so yeah. I'm behind today. I'm here. I'm ready to party.
Are you tired because you stayed up super late last night watching the director's cut of Rocky IV that was just released?
I did not do that. I do not like Rocky movies. I think the first one didn't hit me when I was young, and I watched it. And I'm just, this is long and I don't really care. Mm-hmm. And that's probably my most controversial take.
I'm trying to resist the, I want to hit you, which I feel like is on brand considering the conversation. Anyway, I just love the idea that he released a director's cut to a movie that came out like 30 years ago that literally no one has ever asked for a director's cut of. But Rocky IV is great. Anyway, still glad to have you here, even though I have marginally less respect for you than I did like a minute and a half ago.
Thank you.
But thank you for being here, especially because I don't want to do all the chores myself. I don't want to take out all the garbage. And Brett, you've agreed to help me with that. Thank you.
I am here for you 100%. Yes.
You're the best. And if you'd like to help us out there in the audience, there is still time. We need to choose a community garbage person of the week. You can go to the community tab of our YouTube channel and vote. Always looking for the week. We're going to break our record. Will it be this week? Well, you can have a very, very small impact on that. Anyway,
just kidding. John, am I going to do this?
What?
The person who runs our Twitter feed for promotion for Main Show Droovy is looking for photos right. of Lance of the Surf from the Surfs to use in promotion, and we can't find any that are like a photos. And so I just told her to use an old photo of Brendan Fraser.
I think you should, but it should be the photo of him from that thing where he had the wishes and he was a basketball player. It should be Brendan Fraser as a basketball player.
I don't know what I'm doing. I gotta tell her no, because Drewby's so like innocent and nice. I don't know. I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna give her the real one.
Okay, well you do that. And yes, it was bedazzled. And I'm gonna let people know what's coming up, because of course, over the course of the next 90 minutes or so, let's say 88. We're going to be talking about a lot, including Donald Trump speaking up in defense of those who wanted to murder his vice president. We've got Fox pushing for more vigilantes, updated information on whether the tyrannical vaccine mandates are working or not. We've got anti-Semitism. We've got tuna. We've got pretty much everything. And we'll be closing out the show as we always do with the garbage people of the week. So don't go anywhere except if it's to temporarily go to vote in that poll. And you can like the stream, you can share the stream. Either of those are great. But while that is going on, Brett, are you ready to potentially talk about some news?
I'm ready. There's a level 2 hype train. I've never been so excited in my life.
Very excited. Brendan Fraser from Doom Patrol is the one to use, Galfar says. I think you should do it.
I don't know.
Okay.
Feel bad.
Anyway.
Feels bad.
Let's do this. Donald Trump was apparently asked way back in March about those who had stormed the Capitol chanting that they wanted to hang Mike Pence, his then vice president. And here is apparently what he had to say about it.
Were you worried about him during that siege? Were you worried about his safety?
No, I thought he was well protected, and I had heard that he was in good shape. Mm-hmm. No, because I had heard he was in very good shape. But no,
you heard those chants. That was terrible. I mean, it was, you know, the...
He could have. Well, the people were very angry.
They're saying hang Mike
because
Pence.
It's common sense, John. It's common sense that you're supposed to protect. How can you, if you know a vote is fraudulent, right? Yeah. How can you pass on a fraudulent vote to Congress?
I mean, there's a couple of amazing things about this. Let's start with the first is that John Carl, who conducted that and had that, has sat on that for months and months and months. So always amazing when journalists do that so that they can sell a book or whatever. But aside from that, you're asked about, that would be like if people had stormed our studio chanting to hang Brett Ehrlich, and I was asked about it. And I was like, well, I heard he was in good shape. And you know, it's just common sense. Like the Rocky movies are good and he badmouths them constantly. So it's just common sense, really. You protect Rocky. Brett, what do you think?
I think just different parts of that. He sat on this for many months, but so little has changed. You know, the fact that it doesn't really affect much is hilarious to me. And I also want to meet the people who buy these books and read them. Because do you need to?
Do you need to?
All the parts you're going to want. I've bought them before. I bought a Rumsfeld book. I bought a Hillary book. I bought a Woodward on, I forget who book. Maybe on Trump. And you read them, and as you're a few chapters in, you're like, oh, all the parts that are interesting have already been in articles to get me to buy this book and regret it halfway into my Kindle sesh. That I love a lot. But to the core of this, it is very true that Donald Trump does not care whether Mike Pence lives or dies. And when confronted with a very easy softball to avoid the misconception, say that he would not care if Mike Pence was murdered, he says, oh yeah, we got security around him, and then doubles down on something that's false. Mm-hmm. Which is that this vote was fraudulent. You believe in America, if you love America, something that Donald Trump and his supporters have never done once, they don't think America is great. It's on all their merch that America is not great. Mm-hmm. Saying to make America great again means you hate America. You want to cancel America as we know it. That's their messaging and has been since the inception. So it would actually stand to reason that they think that the entire process of democracy should be torn down and people should be murdered.
Yes. Oh, unless it delivers them into office. I think that if the Republicans could win in democracy, I think they'd be perfectly happy with it. Just, you know, that's the only condition in which they'd be happy with it, which is an issue. So the core issue here that, I guess the core issue is that the other core issue I'm about to say doesn't matter, to Brett's point. But the one that doesn't matter, and that's what's so scary, is that the president wasn't like asked something broad, like, do you condemn everyone in DC? Or do you condemn everyone in the Capitol? He was just asked, is it wrong to chant hang Mike Pence? And he wouldn't even go along with that. Mm-mm. That is a bar so low, it's in the center of the earth, basically. And he wouldn't do that. When asked, there's two sides to this. A guy who might be hanged and those who want to hang him. Whose side would you like to take? He was unambiguous in siding with the potential murderers right there. And the larger point is, that doesn't matter. And that's horrifying. No, but let's be very clear. There's new people that start watching political videos like this all the time that say, hey, you know, I started watching, you know, TDR during the pandemic or whatever. Or maybe you're from outside of the US and you haven't been following American politics for a long time. I want to be very clear. Generally, you don't threaten the life or say that you don't care about the life of your vice president. Like, you know, Al Gore wasn't almost thrown to the wolves by Clinton or anything. Generally, politicians don't do that. And yet, as with so many things that have been normalized that never should have been, the president can just say, like, this is going to be news maybe until tonight. And then we're going to move on. There's no way anyone's going to be talking about this in a sustained way on Monday. The fact that the president was speaking up for the threats to lynch his vice president. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, but it should.
It just doesn't matter.
He wanted Mike Pence to die because of his naked pursuit of power. And I've said this on your show before, usually there's a breaking point, right? There's something you can point out and someone goes, okay. And for whatever reason, maybe it's cynical. Like for example, today, Jimmy Dore is basically saying after he got called out for vaccine misinformation, even he is like, this quote in this article is wrong and I fired a producer because I don't, you know, whatever. Even he has some kind of stopper that says, I will issue a correction. Donald Trump doesn't. And that's because his goal is not monetization on YouTube or whatever. All the cynical things that motivate him are only the naked pursuit of power and money.
Yeah.
With, you know, at the expense of things that, quote, make America great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're totally right. Look, I would say I don't think he wanted Pence killed. I think he wanted Pence to be so terrified that he might be killed that he would totally shred the Constitution and do this insane thing that Trump was, again, in that interview encouraging, which isn't just like the big lie is that the election was stolen, which is a lie. The even more ridiculous lie is, and Pence could have unilaterally changed the result if he wanted to, yeah, which they have been saying. And I'm going to run you through a little bit here. First of all, as many people have pointed out, that audio was from months and months ago. But to be clear, ever since then, Pence has been supportive of Donald Trump. They apparently don't talk, but he's still supportive of him. In response to this story, a spokesperson for Pence declined to comment to CNN. Because again, you are supposed to value the opinion Trump has of you based on what you say and do more than your own life. That is part of what makes a death cult is your willingness to die for the pleasure of the dear leader. But anyway, Hallie Jackson is saying that they didn't talk in the wake of the riot. Maybe if they had, he could have shifted Trump's view about whether it mattered if he lived or died.
It's funny.
And to be clear, while this was way back in March, the secondary lie that he said there is still being pushed up to it, including yesterday, Mark Levin said, and they try to glue all this together because he had a lawyer. Trump had a lawyer, good man, a friend of mine by the name of Eastman, who argued a legal theory that the vice president of the United States could in fact refuse to accept some of the electors from some of the states where there were disputes between the state legislatures and the governor and so forth. Not a completely crackpot theory, you know?
Cool. No, it is. Cool crucible, bud.
It is actually a crackpot theory that he was arguing like 9 hours ago.
Dude, but the bar that even Mark Levin is putting at the ground level is, this is fine because it's not a completely crackpot theory.
Yeah,
it's a crackpot theory, but it's not, there's like a part of it that says like federalism implied in it. But like as the most conservative person at TYT, I believe in states' rights. And the states all said, these are good. All of the states through state processes said, here are the results and we've certified them. And it is only the vice president's only job is to say, got it.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yep.
Done.
And can we like I know that this will never get to them. So we'll say it again on this show. Cenk has said it multiple times on the Young Turks. It's not a crackpot theory that Mike Pence can choose to just say no on the election. So I will say what we have always said to them. So can Harris?
Yeah, exactly.
Kamala Harris just say no. Trump won. Yeah, I get it. He won by 9 million, supposedly. You think? I don't think so. So I've got an Eastman theory on a post-it note. And so the election doesn't count. Does any one of them think, does Mark Levin think that Kamala Harris can reverse the result of an election?
It's no, all theater.
Yeah,
we all know it's all theater. It's all BS. And it's all, none of them are saying what they actually mean. Trump should say, I want to be president and I don't care what happens to democracy. Pence should say what you said. I know that I need to keep myself, you know, linked to Donald Trump in good graces one way or another. So all I have at my disposal is because he's so mercurial, I'm just going to shut up now. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I need to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're finding out a little bit more about this because a journalist finally decided to release videos from like more than 6 months ago. There is, in theory, other information out there. Well, so for instance, an ABC reporter says that there are pictures of Pence holed up in a basement hiding from the Capitol rioters, but he can't show them. I'm sure he has some argument, maybe a legal argument as to why that is. Seems like that would be in the public interest to see that. I heard that he was doing just fine. Trump said that Pence was doing just fine. Apparently he was hiding in a basement.
Is it because there's like scat everywhere? Like has he soiled himself and that's why we can't show them? Like is it an FCC situation?
Maybe Trump doesn't want him to release it because hiding in the basement when protesters are around is sort of his thing and he doesn't want Pence to steal it. I don't know. Anyway, There is other, you know, actually, I think we have video on the photos. So let's go to that, see if we can learn anything extra.
During the riot, Mike Pence had with him the entire time a photographer, an official White House photographer, who captured images of that entire period, including the roughly 5 hours where Pence was hidden away in the bowels of the Capitol in a place that nobody's ever really known, because he refused to leave. He wanted to stay there. They got him out of the Senate chamber and they took him somewhere. Nobody ever.
While people are erecting gallows, yes, across the street.
Exactly. Where I actually saw all of the photographs.
You saw
them. I saw all the photographs. And by the way, it is wild to see that he was in a loading dock in an underground parking garage beneath the Capitol complex. No place to sit, no desk, no chairs, no nothing. He was in this concrete, like, parking garage. And, you know, with his family and, this is the vice president of the United States, and he's like holed up in a basement. And I went to the vice president, the former vice president, and I asked him if I could publish those photographs. I think they're part of the historical record. And they're really important.
One of the photographs is him literally looking at the tweet of the president saying, Mike Pence.
One of them is his chief of staff, Mark Short, showing him his phone. And it's the tweet of Trump saying Mike Pence didn't have the courage.
And maybe we'll never get to see it. And honestly, like we attack a lot Ted Cruz for what he was willing to do after Trump turned on him, the sad phone call and all that stuff. But this is worse. Trump never, as far as I can remember, tried to get Ted Cruz killed to stay silent, just to protect the reputation of someone who didn't care if you lived or died, is just truly sad.
That is, I hadn't seen that. That's fantastic. And I wonder who pays for that photographer, because in terms of rights, I've been told through my, like, you know, tutorials on what you can use and what's public domain and not, if our tax dollars are paying for that photographer to take those photos, and those photos belong to the people. And so maybe it's a certain amount of time, maybe it's his own personal photographer and that's exempt from those kinds of things. But my God, man, journalists need to get their hands on that and leak it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ken Klippenstein.
Those are the kinds of things you just cannot forget.
Yeah.
You cannot wipe from your mind the images that make their way into the public consciousness. And it's crazy that I want those, and there's not enough out there to confirm it for me.
Yeah, like when you think about, like, what was Obama doing when the mission to take out Osama bin Laden was going on? You know, because you've seen that photo, that one photo of them around the table. Like, these things are important, they are powerful. Just knowing that it happened isn't as powerful as being able to see it. There's other things we'd like to see, but we're not going to. So the DC Circuit Court of Appeals has granted former President Trump's request for an administrative injunction, temporarily blocking the release of White House records. So earlier this week, a judge had been like, no, you got to give him the documents, send him the documents, the drafts of speeches and those sorts of things. And we said at the time, yeah, believe it when I see it. We've heard this about the tax returns. There is always another court. Well, hey, we found another court. It's the DC Circuit Court of Appeals. So as of right now, at least, they're not going to be released. They claim that it's protected by executive privilege, that a sitting president's private communications should be shielded from public scrutiny. I will remind you, he's not a sitting president. But anyway, they called it a vexatious illegal fishing expedition. I've literally never heard the word vexatious before, but I love it. A plus on that. F for your turn against democracy, but A plus on the use of vexatious.
I'll take words that Trump himself would never use. It's close to one he might make up. I mean, that's the other thing, that it's the double-edged sword of the judicial system, is that you'll find a bunch of judges who will think different things than each other, and then it makes its way up to the Supreme Court if needed. Or they'll find a way around it. But we need to know that kind of stuff. We need to have that at our disposal, because, like, it is one of the themes that people should identify. And you've mentioned it kind of already on the show today. The news cycle will just normalize the passage of insanity over time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. Takes 72 hours and it's gone. But the sad externality of that is that you can normalize something that is really like a naked, you know, unambiguous grab at power and the dissolution of democracy in America.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's what he tried to do. And like, you don't get to go into a store, grab a TV, run to the exit, and if someone clotheslines you on the way out, your defense can't be, well, I didn't actually rob the store because I didn't make it out the door.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's an attempted robbery. And your failed attempt at treason, thank God that they failed, but you still tried them.
Yeah.
And tried being the operative word, because you should stand trial for your offenses.
Even in Arrested Development, they made a joke about like they'd never heard of a second time treason offense. But no, we've moved to a point where we might very well get to see a second chance, a redo. We're rebooting everything these days. Why not treason? By the way, some people were wondering if the word vexatious at least appeared in that big speech in V for Vendetta. I just checked it. It apparently did not. So they have one-upped V from V for Vendetta. Anyway, with that, we do have to take our first break. When we come back, Fox is pushing as hard as they can to get more vigilantes out there in the street. We'll show that to you after this. Meant like, you know what I meant. Don't say that.
You're just gonna softball them in there?
This isn't deep dive. Don't do that. This is Game Busters. Okay, which by the way is coming up later on today. What's going on with Game Busters?
Game Busters. Jordan Ewell will be playing Magic the Gathering with a very special guest. So check that out.
That is very exciting. Big fan of Magic the Gathering, just not enough to actually play it in the last few months. Anyway, later on today, by the way, did you see the stuff they sent him recently? It is amazing. I hope he shows it off on stream.
Right. That's like Bitcoin to me. Like what crypto is to you, Magic the Gathering cards are for me. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
This one seems to be particularly magical, I guess.
That's fine. I would say I would want it even if it was worth $0, which is sort of the exact opposite of crypto or a photo of a lazy lion or whatever. But sure, it is weird. I give it up to you that it is weird. Okay, we also have Power Panel coming up later on. I'm gonna be joining Cenk Uygur and Nina Turner. That's an awesome sentence to be able to say regularly. You also have the second hour with Jer Jackson, Cenk Uygur, and Lance from the Serfs. No word yet on whether Brendan Fraser will be making an appearance, but fingers are crossed. His career is booming once again. You never know. So we'll see about that. Also, today's Friday, which means on Twitch, it's Galaxy Brain time at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time with Ben Carollo. Should be a lot of fun. Now, that said, why don't we jump in to some of this? All this week, the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse has been going on, and there are certainly implications for, are we gonna have more vigilantes? Are we gonna take seriously people who choose to break the law, gaining guns they shouldn't have, crossing state lines, putting themselves in situations they should never be in, and then oops, people end up dying? I think it's a bad thing. Other people don't necessarily agree. They've been pushing for some time to have more people taking things into their hands. And it comes in different forms. And we want to show you a few of those different forms. So first of all, this is video from Fox News, from what passes for their straight reporting of what's going on in the border. And I want you to see how they cover this little news tidbit.
Pretty remarkable video here, courtesy of Breitbart. Take a look at this. This is in Roma, Texas, where a private citizen evidently got so frustrated with these smugglers coming over on rafts that he built a makeshift grappling hook and he went to the river's edge and started throwing it down as these rafts were coming across the Rio Grande. He was trying to puncture them to sink them. He was unsuccessful in that regard. And to wrap it up here live, you can see from our Fox drone right now, this dense, remote, brushy area we're in right now, this is where those runners went in to go hide. This is a constant game of cat and mouse with Border Patrol that happens not every day here, almost every few hours here in the epicenter of the border crisis, La Jolla, Texas.
Did you see what just happened there? You might be asking, wait, why did you have so much of the video after he stopped talking about that? Because I wanted to demonstrate to you, that was the only thing he had to say about that. There was nothing condemning the attempted murder that they just showed in that video. He's like, oh, he was unsuccessful. So anyway, the weather is gonna be, no, you just moved on from a guy who was trying to sink rafts that have men, women, and children on them. No condemnation whatsoever. I get that it's your straight news, but that's a film of a guy that's trying to kill someone. I feel like you could emote slightly.
That's it. I love the term makeshift grappling hook. Like that, like a,
what does that
mean? A hook on the end of a rope is a grappling hook.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like and that's the first thing I thought when I saw it. It was just like, this dude is trying to murder. He's like trying to drown them.
Yeah.
Like trying to drown families. Go home. That is implicitly anti-police, anti-border patrol, your actions. You are against the people whose job it is to do that. You are, ask any of them, making it harder for them if you do it.
Yep.
All right. And Fox News saying another great moment is courtesy of Breitbart. It's like, all right, hold on to your butts.
Yes.
Here it comes. If Breitbart's willing to share, it must be real juicy and real full of hate. But that's a hero for them.
Yeah. They presented it as he's been driven to this.
Attempted murderer with no faith in police.
I would like to say that I still have a little bit of faith in police, or at least I'm willing to test it. That guy's on video. Go get him. He was just trying to kill someone. He apparently told a reporter that was what his goal was. It's attempted murder. That's what it is. But again, it's, I don't know, situation's really bad. He was really frustrated, so he did some DIY and now he's trying to drown a baby. That was Fox News right there. By the way, they had a lot of other stuff to say. They showed migrants crossing the border. They're like, there are women and children. Here you see the single adult men, some in dark clothes, camouflage. When have you ever talked about a Proud Boy like that? Or a militia member when they dress like that? Why are you trying to terrify people? Anyway, there is more though.
Camouflage, as someone who works at a generic bistro in a mall somewhere, the Proud Boy.
Exactly.
A cute little polo shirt with yellow stripes.
Exactly. So that was on immigration. Of course, Rittenhouse is the ultimate example. The minimum bar for Rittenhouse would be, obviously they're gonna support him. They like what he did, but they need to at least say, oh, but don't do this. He was doing self-defense, but you shouldn't grab a gun and go across the border. That is not what they're saying. Take a look at this.
People say that Rittenhouse never should have gone to Kenosha. The dead guys shouldn't have gone there either. One was a convicted pedophile who, again, had anally raped a child. Another was a serial domestic abuser. They should not have been anywhere on a street, right? They should have been in jail or in an institution. Kyle's victims, the two dead guys, deserved better from the government. But they didn't deserve better from Kyle. He did the right thing. He did what the government should have done, which was to make sure these dirtbags, these violent, disgusting dirtbags, weren't roaming the streets. Bottom line is, all Rittenhouse did was fill the void that the government left open. Those two people never, ever should have been on the street, and it forced citizens to become the police. And that is what happens when you defund.
Wow. What a garbage human. Everything about that's wrong. All right, let's start with like his argument is that the other people shouldn't have been on the street. So that's your argument is that Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have been there. So that's your argument. If it is your contention that like if Kyle shouldn't have been there, they shouldn't have been there. All right, I'll grant you that. Maybe they shouldn't have been there. One guy just got out of an institution. But like, okay, then I'll accept your argument that Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have been there. When he says the government, he means the police. He's trying to say the government as kind of a way to say that I can't attack the police for failing, right? There isn't any defunding of the police there. There wasn't defunding. He said, oh, that's what happens when you defund the police, but it hasn't happened. So that I'll say that's what happens when, you know, meteors strike the center of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Yep. It didn't happen. No one's defunded those police officers. They were completely capable of doing that, but they can't. It's this ridiculous, stupid dance that they do that's just full of talking points, because that's one of their moves. They just introduce well-tested catchphrases in their media messaging assault. Yeah. And they say them over and over again so that later when you repeat those terms, they don't have to make sense sequentially in the context that you use them. People who don't really understand the situation just hear you saying words like defund the police, government failure, and now they're on your side. But nothing Gutfeld said held together.
No, not even, look, their core argument is nobody gets to be frustrated with what Kyle Rittenhouse did because what he did was self-defense. Well, if it's self-defense, then the content or past of the people attacking him are irrelevant. It could have been the Pope. If the Pope was trying to kill him, he gets to defend himself. But you're saying, no, don't worry about this. They were bad people. Why does that matter? If you have to convince us not to be bothered by the murder, how strongly do you actually buy the self-defense argument? I would also, I am so done with people refusing to say the point they want you to take away from what they're saying. His point is you can murder people if they're bad, even if you only find out that they're bad after you murder them. I've gotten people tweeting me about that, by the way, saying the guy had done child abuse. So what's the difference if somebody shot him in the head on the street? Well, I would say you're not allowed to just shoot people randomly, dig into their past, and if they're bad enough, you get off. I don't think anyone actually believes that. Certainly no one would say that, but that is the only goal of the nonsense that you just heard from Greg Gutfeld. Move on, these people were bad. Okay, well then why when they killed complete innocents, when police killed complete innocents, why doesn't that then, by virtue of your logic, then absolve? None of it makes any sense. None of it makes any sense, except one thing that is undeniable. They're telling their audience, these people are good. The government failed you, so of course you get to do this. If the government won't stop the migrants, you get to sink their rafts. If the government doesn't stop the rioters, you get to shoot them in the head. That is so clear and terrifying.
I'm gonna go by this definition. The next time the Pittsburgh Steelers win a playoff game and people go outside during a rally or a celebratory parade and start knocking over trash cans, I get to go mow them down.
They were breaking the law.
They were breaking the law. The police just let this happen. I get to go outside the Staples Center every time people light a trash can on fire after the Lakers win a championship, and I get to go kill all of them because the police are just letting trash burn.
What do you expect?
So I need to go there, provoke all of them, go and then murder them, and then hire a private investigator and Fox can absolve me and it just seems like I'm not reading tea leaves here. I'm just saying what evidence I have. If it's a white kid, then if I'm a white guy, then I get to do it.
And notably, in all of that, where they're bringing up the history of the people that he killed, the fact that a few weeks prior to that, he was on video punching a woman repeatedly. They didn't bring that up, oddly enough. One person, by the way, on that panel,
and they're arguing that we can't use the video of Kyle Rittenhouse saying, I wish I could go shoot those people.
Exactly. That doesn't have anything to do with his motive when he says that he wishes he could do the thing that he ends up doing. One woman on that panel did say that she doesn't support vigilante violence. And the guys on the panel began yelling at her, not letting her speak, yelling at her because she said, I don't support vigilante violence, if it wasn't clear enough. So when the next attack happens, here you go. This is how you get that. Okay, now really fast, let's move on to an important update. A little bit of news, but I want to make sure that people understand it. Not that many months ago, when Joe Biden announced that there was going to be a vaccine or testing mandate, the right lost their minds over it. In the immediate response to that on Fox, they called him an authoritarian, a rotting bag of oatmeal, which is admittedly kind of funny, a tyrant, very frail and very weak, an authoritarian. Biden declares war on millions of Americans, full totalitarian, which I would think the full part is in the total part. But they're just not great with words. Let's see, it's a tyrannical mandate, it's a fascist move. So they have been desperate ever since to convince you that these mandates are not acceptable. There's no point, there's no benefit, you should fight against it. They've plucked from around the country, literally anyone who has refused to be a part of the solution and hailed them as heroes. And so after months of that news, you might be led to believe that it was a failure. But I want to be very clear. It's been succeeding, actually. NBC News has looked at 20 different cities, and they've looked at employee vaccination data. And the cities that are mandating the shots, they found that the rates for city employees, a group that includes healthcare workers, police officers, sanitation workers, and firefighters, are about 15 percentage points higher than the rest of the general populations of the cities or counties that they work in. Nationally, you get to about 79% of municipal workers in those cities being vaccinated. The country's overall rate is about 58%. So, regardless of whatever partisan arguments to get your base all fired up you want to have about the constitutionality, let's also be clear that it is working to get people, some of whom work around large populations of people, they have been getting vaccinated at higher rates, which is objectively good if you are not siding with COVID. Brett, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, they work. Vaccination mandates work to get people vaccinated. I just don't think this is like a full on, like, yes, they're right or wrong argument.
The conversation they have wanted to have is that this is tyrannical and that's it. They've lauded supposedly that like thousands of cops are not going to abide by it. People come away from that news thinking, oh, all of these people that I'm told to respect don't abide by it. They don't give you the update later on that only like 30 did or whatever. I just want people to understand that they have been achieving their goal at the very least.
Yes, it's effective to get people to actually take the shot. I think that your argument's a loser because they still get to take the moral high ground at the end of the day. They still get to say, listen, you bullied them into taking the shot, to giving away their rights.
Sure.
I think still politically they totally win. Sorry.
I mean, I think for their own people, I would argue that you can make the case to the population at large, which by the way, by overwhelming majority supports vaccine mandates, that trying to stop the spread of a deadly virus, I would argue that that is actually the moral high ground.
No, I don't mean they get the, I think the actual moral high ground is to say what you're saying. Like there's a, I feel like the public health is paramount. I think that, you know, they are disingenuous, losing moral high ground when they say that they think vaccine mandates are unconstitutional when they have existed for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Everywhere that they've gone, most of the people who are going against vaccine mandates have abided by the vaccine mandate to attend schools.
Yeah.
To basically participate in society from a very young age. And those vaccine mandates have actually helped their lives become better. What I'm saying is, yes, this, if I'm saying like, are we changing minds here? No, they're gonna say, I mean, the very least you can say, listen, I would make an argument, and maybe this is implicit in your thing and I just missed it, but like, and that's on me, but like to say, all these people who said they were gung-ho to buck these mandates actually are not on your side. Mm-hmm. They're not on your side. And so what are you gonna do about it?
Like, they're literally not on your side in that they are willingly complying with harsher vaccine mandates while picking up people who have not and saying that they're the true heroes, you should do what they're doing. They're not taking the advice that they're in real time giving. But there are differences between cities. And in fact, I want to jump ahead to LA, where we are broadcasting from. It's the only city of the 20 in the analysis where the municipal COVID vaccination rate was lower than that of the general population. Hey, we're number one, Brett. 74% of city workers are vaccinated, just short of the city's overall rate of 79%. And it's believed that the lower rate is attributed to fewer vaccinations among the city's parks and street services employees, as well as its police and firefighters in this one city. Now, overall, just to close out, because we haven't done one of these updates in a little bit, new reported cases have been dropping, but are now stagnant. I understand it's a little bit zoomed out there, but for the past week or two, 3 or 4 weeks maybe, cases have been fairly consistent. They are in fact up very slightly, 2% over the last 14 days. Hospitalizations are inching down, deaths are as well, but it has been a very slow process. And even this far into this wave, you're still losing 1,100 to 1,200 people every single day. So still devastating loss of life. When the number gets up to 1,200 from 500 or 600, we freak out. 2 months later of that happening every single day, we don't care so much. And you have Bill Maher going on his show to say that the pandemic's over. So that's my fear, is that this will become normalized.
Yep.
Yeah. And I want to close by saying, no, you're a loser. I just want to be clear.
I didn't
that.
Call you, John. I don't
you
think
called
you're
me
a loser.
You
I
did.
Said your argument is not a winner.
And I took that very personally and irrationally. And I'm very angry at you.
I'm sorry.
You're a loser.
I am intense with John. I dearly respect you.
I have support.
And I just expect better from you is what I'm trying
Brooke
to say.
Brooke Marks on Twitch says, get him, John. Anyway,
I just
okay, we have to go to our second break. I may be a loser, but I get to go to break if I want to. Okay, so we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about some insane people running for Senate, including some anti-Semitism after this. Let's go to this. Oh God. Oh geez. Okay. Ohio is in the middle of their Republican primary in their Senate race, and boy, do they have some choices on their hands. Well, they had a candidate forum, and there were some sparks flying, especially around the topic of vaccination. So I want to give you a sort of zoomed in view of the state of the Republican Party, and I think you'll get an idea of where they're at intellectually in this exchange.
It's one thing to talk, it's another thing to act. I'm also the only one up here. Matt was not with us the last time. Who's not vaxxed? Jack asked us the question last time and we answered. The only person who didn't answer was Josh. Josh, do you want to answer tonight?
Personal feeling is, it is not right for the government or the media or anyone to ask us if we're vaccinated. So my feeling is, for all of us out there.
Okay, I got 17 seconds. Thank you.
Yeah, so strategically bad idea to give the other candidate your time, but he's arguing everyone on this stage says you shouldn't be required in any way or even encouraged to get the vaccine, but I'm the only one willingly opening myself up to a fatal disease. That guy probably took medicine over there. And that's sad. But then when that guy comes over and refuses to say, for reasons that are abundantly clear, Brett, that's maybe even sadder. And by the way, that was Josh Mandel, the second guy. You've got Mark Pukida, the first one.
Josh Mandel is the guy who like pulls over at the side of the road at midnight in a cornfield to be like, I'm here by a Trump sign, as in the middle of traffic. Like that guy, we've shown on this network, we've shown a ton of video of Josh Mandel being the worst, but apparently he's not. So it is farther away that the first guy, Pukida or whatever his name, Puka over there, Puka Shell is over there saying, not the argument that appeals to like these self-professed libertarians who are against the vaccine, but like are just at least are trying to make a semblance of some kind of freedom of privacy and freedom from government mandate argument. Mm-hmm. This guy's like, no. A lot of people, when they get called out for being anti-vax for bucking the mandate, they say, no, I'm just against the mandate, not the vaccine. This guy's going far beyond it to say, no, I am an anti-vaxxer.
Yep.
It is not government overreach. It's not any of that. I think that there's 5G crystals in my magnetized blood.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah, 100%. This is not, I just think it should be up to you. I'm saying it's better to not be elect the guy who refuses to acknowledge medical science. And then Josh Mandel, he does the grifter thing. Honestly, why doesn't he just lie? I guess he's worried about it leaking or something. So he's vaccinated. If he was unvaccinated, he would just say that right there. He's vaccinated, but he knows how explicitly anti-vax the base is, so he can't say it. And that is utterly pathetic. I am so sick of all the grift around vaccines. But that wasn't the only thing that caused an issue at that event. You also have a conversation about this radio ad that Pukida had put out questioning Josh Mandel's religion.
Are we seriously supposed to believe the most Christian values Senate candidate is Jewish? I am so sick of these phony caricatures.
Oh, I agree. If we keep electing people like this, we'll just keep getting the same terrible results.
I like Pukida.
Do you really think that this one's Jewish?
Brett?
One of my favorite genres of anything is the fake conversation between friends. Like, oh, I didn't know I needed a Medicare insurance supplement, did you? Well, if you think that's interesting, check out my reverse mortgage, Maggie. Like, no, yeah. No one has that conversation.
No.
And honestly, I think a lot of evangelicals will agree that Mandel somehow, against all odds, is more in favor of Christian ideals than your average Christian, because a lot of Christians have all this infighting as to which like sect is more close to God, but they all know that they need Jews to be in Israel to make it to the promised land when Jesus comes back and like Noah's arcs us into oblivion.
Exactly. I mean, that was just anti-Semitism. Again, the right minds it. In the very specific case where Ilhan Omar said something that they don't like. That's it. Aside from that, anything goes. Okay, really fast. There are other awful people in the world. So we're gonna turn to our last story for this first hour. Hate crimes are certainly nothing new in America, but since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen a startling rise in the number of hate crimes targeting Asian Americans. And in fact, in a recent interview with US Olympic gymnast Suni Lee, she revealed that she was actually the target of one of these just a week ago. She said that while they were waiting for an Uber, a car drove by with people yelling racist slurs such as Ching Chong and go back to where they come from. Suni Lee also stated someone from the passing vehicle hit her arm with pepper spray. So people were driving around as a group, yelling racist slurs and randomly pepper spraying people on the street. She says, I was so mad, but there was nothing I could do or control because they skirted off. I didn't do anything to them, and having the reputation, it's so hard because I didn't want to do anything that could get me into trouble. I just let it happen. The reputation, of course, is not just that she was an Olympic gymnast, but she took gold in the all-around gymnastics competition last summer, silver in the team event, and bronze on the uneven bars. And look, these attacks are still happening. So 1 in 4 Asian households reported that they fear being threatened or physically attacked in recent months, the largest of the groups polled. But a lot of people are worried about these attacks. And in fact, one organization that reports on these says there's been 9,000 reports of hate crimes involving Asian Americans in the last 15 months. So this has still been going on. It might not always be making the news, but this sort of harassment and in fact attacks, including with things like pepper spray, continue to this day.
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I'm against hate crimes.
I think so that's good. Bold claim. Like,
yeah. The reason that I react that way is because like it is that. The reaction that everybody should have when they're like, yes, I'm against hate crimes. Apparently being that as a default is not enough and not ubiquitous enough for them to stop happening. Mm-hmm. This is a widely, as we know, overlooked category because of racial profiling of Asian people in a certain generally overlooked category, period. And it is worth everybody shedding a light on it when it happens, because it does happen, and it happens even when we're not shedding a light on it. So the more we can bring attention to it, the more we can do it. One thing that's just sad and cynical is like if you look at Black Lives Matter and you look at people putting more of a focus on a group of people who have endured hardship, the default setting for conservative media is to say, why are you racializing everything?
Yeah,
we should be against crime. And that's like the most cynical, nefarious, horrible instinct that anyone can have in media.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Anyway, just want to remind people that this is going on. There's been anti-Asian American hatred, discrimination, all that attacks for very, 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 very long time. But now we're seeing more, and I don't see any reason to believe that it's going to immediately tail off. It's been sort of baked in, and now we're seeing this, and we have to stand up against it, make sure people know what's going on. Okay, we're gonna take a short break. There'll be more news coming at you after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.